most of you know of Debbie. You probably don't know the real Debbie. And you don't know the real Debbie unless you, like, spend... There you go. Unless you spend some quality time with her, because after you spend some quality time with her, you will never look at her the same. So she is one of the funniest women that I know, and she... But it's frustrating because you, like, take her out... And you want to show her off because she's so funny. Jenna says this. And then she doesn't do anything. And you're like, perform. Do something. You're so funny. Yes, yes. You should see Debbie. Okay, Debbie, do it. Yes, yes. Where the frog dances. And then everybody turns around. And chirp, 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 chirp. And so the only way to get Debbie out of her shell is to put her on stage. And so she is here to share her testimony. And I'm so excited because it is the most powerful testimony. It's amazing. I mean, she sent it to me and I literally was weeping reading it because not only was I reading it, but I was living, you know, I've watched her live it out. And it has always encouraged me. And I just, I would think to myself, how does she do this? How does she do this? And, you know, I've seen her cry. And I've seen her be sad and frustrated and angry. And but she lives in the joy of the Lord. And she's just such an encouragement. So I am so excited for her to share. Thank you. So give her another round of applause.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you. I'm not very comfortable talking in front of people. So, I mean, I'm usually back there in that cage. And so I actually thought maybe I could speak from back there. You know, it has that bulletproof glass there. So in case y'all didn't like what I'm saying, you know, I felt pretty protected and everything. But I guess I will stand out here. She said I couldn't do that. So the first thing I want to do, though, is to pray. And so let's talk to our Father, because I'm really nervous. And I need the Holy Spirit to just fill this place. Father, it is your favorite daughters coming to you tonight. And we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit and fill every corner of this room. Open every heart. Let me speak only the words that you would have me speak. I love you. You have done amazing things. You are amazing. You made everything that we see, the dirt that we walk on. You thought that up. You didn't just create it, but you thought it up. You're just amazing. And we love you and we praise you. And let your Son be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm already crying. I haven't even done anything yet. I always cry when I pray. So, okay, the first thing I want to do is I like to be like my Heavenly Father, and I like to give good gifts. I like to give things away. So I would like to have a volunteer that would like to have this chocolate bar. Boy, nobody likes chocolate or what? Okay, Nanya, come here and get this chocolate bar. But before you take it, I want you to know that I like to give good things. And if you want to, trust me, I will trade you. You may take this because I want you to see what I have. But if you want that, you can have that. Or you can trade me for what I have behind my back. But you have to trust me. Are you, okay, you want to trade?
I'll trade you.
You'll trade. Are you sure?
I'm sure.
So you trust me?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right, you're welcome. Okay, so It was several years ago that I was working in children's church, and I had to teach that object lesson. And you think when you're teaching in children's church that, you know, oh, okay, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to teach some little kids a lesson and, you know, it'll be great. But I always learn something. And so when I was given this lesson, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, what do you want? Do you want this little chocolate bar, which is, I mean, hey, it's a Dove chocolate bar. This is not, you know, your everyday chocolate. This is good. It's good chocolate. Or do you want to trust the Lord and have something, you know, bigger and better? Well, I was convinced that I would go for the little chocolate bar because, hey, it was good, right? So I told the Lord then, I said, you know what, I'm good with the little chocolate bar. Chocolate's fattening, you know, I don't want to push my luck. So the problem was I was in a terrible marriage. I was in a terrible situation. I had been married I had been with my husband for 22 years at the time. We had dated for 3 years. We'd been engaged for 2.5 years, and we'd been married for 17 years. And our marriage was down the tubes. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and I had decided way back then that things were going to be different when I grew up and got married. So the problem with that was that I had become a complete control freak. That had really affected the way things were going at home. And on top of that, my husband is a human being and he had his own issues. So with those two things together, things were not going well. And so there were issues in my family that I didn't know what was wrong, but I just knew that there was something wrong. And I was homeschooling at the time, and I had 5 children. I had a 2-year-old, and then the other 4 children were in school. And things were just, I was just worn out. Things were going bad with my marriage. I was trying to homeschool. I had a 12-year-old son who was going into puberty, and that is always an awesome time in a kid's life and in parents' life. And so you can imagine teaming a kid in puberty with a control freak mother, and things were just not real pleasant at home. So it all kind of came to a head. It was around Thanksgiving of 2004, and some little thing happened, and that was it. I literally felt my heart shut down, and it wasn't long after that I told my husband that I didn't love him anymore. And he was shocked at first, and he tried to make amends, and we went to counseling, and it wasn't working. And I'm guessing that after a couple of months of him trying to, make things better, and I was not responding, that he then became bitter towards me. And from about that point on, things were just not good. And he stopped trying. I stopped trying. I moved out of the bedroom and into my daughter's room. And there we were. We were living in the same house with 5 children. He would get up in the mornings and go to work and come home about the time that everybody was in bed, and so we didn't see him a whole lot, and it was just a real icky situation. And so this had went on for a year or so, and with all of this combined, with our marriage falling apart, homeschooling, four children, and having a baby, I was literally pretty much raising the children on my own and taking care of the house, I was on the fast track to a nervous breakdown. And it was just a very bad time. But God stepped in. And those are two powerful words. But God. I don't know if y'all remember Sandy Lockwood being here and giving that little sermon. Those are the most two powerful words. But God. He stepped in. And when I was too weak to reach out to him, he reached down to me. And he put some wonderful friends into my life that essentially carried me for the next nine, almost 10 years through this whole ordeal. And they were godly women, and they prayed for me and listened to me and cried with me and encouraged me and gave me godly wisdom. And without them, I can't imagine now. Let me start. Rachel, I don't know. God put these women in my life, and they have walked through with me through this whole ordeal. But even more so than this, what I got out of this whole life lesson is that I learned who God the Father is. When I was growing up, I grew up in a very religious home, and I grew up with a very stern, strict father. And so this was my image of God. God was a big, scary guy. And he was sitting around waiting for me to mess up. And he's waiting for you to mess up, too. And he's got a lightning bolt with your name on it. Okay? So I didn't pray to God. When I prayed to Jesus because I like Jesus. Jesus died for me. Jesus saved my soul from hell. And Jesus was awesome. And Jesus was standing in between me and God when I messed up. And he would, thank you.
Your paper, your first page, did not go to the bottom. It's in the middle.
Oh,
don't
thank
get
you.
Okay.
where was I? Oh, Jesus would stand in between me and God. And if I messed up, then Jesus would talk God into not throwing the lightning bolts, you know. You know, so I really like Jesus, and I always pray to Jesus. But through this whole thing, I came to discover that God, it was not at all who I thought he was. God is not waiting for you to mess up. He is a loving father, and this may sound crazy, but he talks to me, and I hear him, and he says wonderful things to me, and if you sit quiet enough, he'll talk to you too, because he loves you just as much as he loves me. Believe me, if he loves me, he definitely loves you. God did a lot of miracles. Through this time, he healed me of rejection from my father, and healed me of rejection from my husband, and I mean, just things that happened with my kids. It was just, there was no other explanation other than it was God. And one of the miracles that I can tell you about that happened along the way that brought me to the point where I am now is that one of my children was having some major issues. Issues big enough that we decided that he needed to go see a counselor. And I firmly believe in counseling. I firmly believe in Christian counseling. There is a huge difference between a Christian counselor and a secular counselor. So if you ever need to go see a counselor, please go see a Christian counselor. The Bible even says not to sit in the counsel of the ungodly and or the wicked. And so so we took my son to a Christian counselor, or I took him to a Christian counselor, and we sat and we talked, and the counselor, when we finished, said, well, what I would like to do is I would like to have his dad and you come in together, and let's all three talk together. And so I was like, okay. So the next session, we all came in as a family, and we talked, and then they asked my son to leave for a moment, and then he sat down and looked at me and my husband and said, I'll tell you what's wrong with your son. It's you two. He said, if we fix your marriage, we fix him. So I'm sitting there going, that was just very tricky. But I was willing, even though we were not in a good place at all. And I said, okay, I agree to that. And my husband said, no. What? Really? I was like, you don't want to have counseling with me when I'm the one that's right here. But that was beside the point. But through some coercing, the counselor got him to agree, which was a miracle right there. So my husband, in case y'all don't know, he is not a believer. And so it just makes things difficult because we think differently. And so so we're seeing this counselor, and things are not going great through the whole counseling thing. He was very resistant. I have to say that I was reluctantly agreeable, kind of like those questions that we were just discussing. I was agreeable, but I just wanted to let you know I'm just doing this because, you know. So, but he was not agreeable at all, and he wasn't giving any effort to it. And so it was very discouraging. And so we were coming towards the end of just, he wasn't wanting to go. I wasn't wanting to go. We went one more time. And that is when we discovered really the root of our issues in our marriage. I had told you at the beginning that there was something in our marriage, aside from me wanting to control everything, that I always felt that there was something that was just out of control. There was something that wasn't quite right in our marriage. And in our last counseling session, it was revealed that my husband had a pornography issue. And you say, oh, I had no idea pornography would affect your marriage the way that it had affected ours. But pornography is like a drug. And when someone becomes addicted to pornography, when they look at pornography, it sets off endorphins in the brain. And the brain, it's just like a drug. The brain likes this, but the more they look at it, the more they need, and it's just this crazy cycle that keeps going on and on. And so it was like I heard the wheels on the bus came screeching to a halt, and the counselor looked over at my husband and says, you and me need to talk. And so from that point on, it was just him and the counselor, And he went, which was pretty amazing. He went regularly and saw the counselor, and the counselor was giving him assignments, and he was doing everything that the counselor had asked him to. He came home, he put a block on the computer, gave me the password. Nobody knows the password but me. They would never guess because it's a Bible scripture. And So divorce stuff, and which was just heartbreaking for me. That's what I came from. That was my biggest fear in life. I didn't want that. I had lived through that. I didn't want my children to go through that. I was even in a worse situation than my parents because my parents were Christians. I was a Christian, but my husband wasn't. My kids, I mean, they could go live with him, and then they would, you know, they wouldn't be raised in a Christian home anymore. And so it was a horrible thought for me to consider this whole thing. But it seemed like that I had no say in the matter. So this is where we were going. And so we had talked about, well, I had been a stay-at-home mom for all these years. I'm a hairstylist, and I could go to work, back to work as a hairstylist, but, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and being a hairstylist is pretty demanding on your back and your feet, I just couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. And so so we started talking about what, you know, getting myself a new career and get me set up. And I have to say, he's a very nice man. He's not horrible. Oh, man, I left out a funny part that I was going to tell you, but that's okay. So he's very agreeable, and so he was wanting to make sure that I was able to take care of myself. Maybe it was a little selfish. Maybe he didn't want to have to take care of me. I don't know. But we decided that I would go back to school and get certified to teach cosmetology, and I did. And it didn't take but like a year to do that. And as soon as I graduated, they called me from the college and asked me if I would like to come to work. I mean, like, I graduated. I hadn't even gotten my license in the mail yet. And the lady that had my instructor called me and told me that she had a position open. And I was like, wow, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, he was constantly taking care of me throughout this whole thing. And so I went to work, and I worked for about 2 years, and then it was last summer, my class didn't make, and I was like, oh, well, you know, that's kind of scary, because I had been, you know, I'd been stuffing my money away, and I was ready to, you know, I was preparing for the future, or I could move him out and start a new life and everything. And then, so my class didn't make, but I thought, you know, it's okay. The Lord takes care of me, and it's probably just this semester. Well, it was very strange, but my children, who had gone back to school back when I was losing my mind, all of a sudden they were like bugging me to homeschool them. The first half I had homeschooled. So they were pretty much close to graduating, but the last half had gone to public school the whole time, and they were wanting to homeschool, and I was like, I just don't think so. I mean, homeschool mommies, you know, that it is just a full-time job, and I already had a job. And so so I prayed about it, and I just felt like the Lord was saying, this is what you need to do. And so I was like, well, and then my class didn't make. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm home for a semester. You know, and we had this whole thing where they go to school like on Mondays and Fridays. And so it was just going to be a few days that they were. And so I was like, you know, back into my control issue thing. And you always think you got this all fixed, and then God goes, oh, you got a little bit right there. You might want to work on that. So I had it all figured out, and then my class didn't make it, and I was like, eee! So I said, okay, well, this is great because God's kind of worked this out. I'm going to stay home for a semester, and, you know, we'll get them all organized and going and everything. And so that's what we did. And so we were doing the homeschool thing, and it was about, it was about August or September, October, somewhere around there. And Jim was preaching this sermon series called Take It Off Pause. Take It Off Pause. Every single, you know, and it's like 4 weeks. Take It Off Pause. And I'm going, I don't hear you. You know, trying to ignore. The Holy Spirit is nudging me. And I just didn't, I didn't want to have to think about taking it off pause, because I had tried to be obedient and before, and I asked him to reconcile, and he had turned me down. And so I didn't want to go back to that again. I just didn't feel like there was any hope. Things had not changed whatsoever. And so, but the Holy Spirit kept nudging me. And, you know, some people say, you know, I don't know where my notes are. I have a Bible scripture that I wanted to read to you. But I think I have, like, mangled these up. But some people say that that God will, you know, he just had to get my attention, so he whacked me upside the head. And it, you know, I hate when I hear people say that, because I don't know God like that, not anymore. God is tender, and he's patient. And I wish I could find this scripture, because it says in the Bible, it says that he is a patient, loving God. And he's not going to whack you upside the head. My dad did that. If I didn't pay attention, my dad had great big thick fingers, and he'd thump me upside the head, and I definitely paid attention. But God won't do that to you. He just whispers to you. And if you don't hear him or you don't listen the first time, he doesn't get mad. He might be sad, but he'll just whisper it to you again. And so he kept whispering to me, and I kept ignoring him. But eventually, I have learned over the past 10 years, just a little bit, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Please, please, please don't make me ask him again. But that's what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to go to my husband and ask him to reconcile again. Yee! Scary. I felt like I knew what the answer was going to be. And so I said, okay, very confident. Okay, I'll do it. I knew what the answer is going to be, so I've got my little heart protected here. It's okay. He stopped me, and the day before I was going to do it, because I'm a planner, so I had it all planned out when I was going to do it. He stopped me, and he said, you are going into this with the wrong attitude. You need to let me protect you. And so I had to pray a lot. And so I said, okay, whatever the outcome is, I trust you. I trust you. You're going to protect me, because you have been. I mean, if I had time to tell you everything that he has done, it would just make your jaw drop open. So I went to him. There was only, you know, like I said, he would get up in the morning and leave and not come home until we were in bed at night. And so we didn't have a whole lot of time that we actually ran into each other. But on Sundays, the kids went to a youth group, and there was that little bitty window that we were home together. And so that's when I did it. And I sit down with him. And it's very awkward to talk to him because he's not a believer and say, the Lord told me. And he's like, yeah, sure he did. But I said, you know, the Lord told me that that I should come to you and ask you if you would like to reconcile. I said, it is completely risk-free for you. If you want to ask me out, I'll go. If, you know, whatever. And so he just said, okay, let's give it a shot. Don't get too excited. And so that was it. And so the next day, you know, there was really, I mean, you know, there's nothing different. Except for the fact, if you've ever blown up a balloon till, you know, you think it's going to pop, if you put one more little tiny breath in it, that was our house, always. There was just so much tension in our house. And Julie Jordan always said that it was like there was this big pink elephant in our living room that was farting and picking his nose. And we just pretended like we didn't see him or smell him. And so we moved him out, at least out to the garage. And so things were not really different, but different. And time went on, and we were having, like, just conversations, you know. You see the Cowboy game the other day? You know, stuff like that, you know. Nothing earth-shattering or anything, just trivial little conversations, which was really pretty monumental because we didn't talk before at all. We were really good at not talking. We didn't ever fight, but we could not talk, and we could give dirty looks and sharp remarks really, really good. So this was a nice change. So this was about October, November, and time went on, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, God, this is nice, but this is not a real marriage. This is not. And so the whole time, you know, I'm praying and I'm staying in tune with God, and is about April. The Lord said, let's take another step. He said, I want you to move back into his bedroom. Oh, it's not that bad right now. You know, I can live with this. But he said, no, it's time for you to move back into the bedroom. So I said, all right. Because I love you, I will do it. And I like starting points. So this was April, so I said, okay, how about May 1st? I don't want to, you know, like just jump right into this or anything. So I said, okay, May 1st. And so the Holy Spirit, okay, we'll do May 1st. And so May 1st came around and I went, oh, I really can't do it. I just can't do it. And so the Holy Spirit just kept nudging me and saying, it's time to do this. So I said, okay. May 24th is my birthday. How about we go for May 24th? And if so, of course, May 24th got there, and I went, it's my birthday. Really? We have to do it on my birthday? And so I said, yeah, I just can't do it on my birthday. And so, you know, I didn't feel that the Holy Spirit turned his back on me and said, I can't look at you now. Or, you know, or you're so bad and you know you keep changing. I didn't feel that at all. I just felt him smile and say, it's time for you to do this. And so I said, okay. We'll go for June 1st. And I said, okay, June 1st is right around the corner. That sounds good to me. And then it wasn't but a day or two later, and my daughter, who is now 12, came to me and said, Mom, I don't want you to sleep in my room anymore. I'm going to sleep all by myself. Who told you that? So I said, okay, I get the idea. Okay, that's fine. Well, I was going out to dinner that night with my girlfriends for my birthday. And so I told them what the Lord had been speaking to me and what had happened with my daughter. And that made me really, really accountable. So they were all, we're going to be praying for you. Give us the details tomorrow. I'm like, Texas first thing. Yeah, sure. I can do that. So I went home, and I'm driving home, and I'm praying, oh, Lord, please, let him be sleepy tonight. And because I had gone to him, and I had actually gone to Carter, my husband, and told him, Jada doesn't want me sleeping there anymore. Can I sleep in your room? And he's like, yeah, sure. Like, can I borrow a pen? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's the same kind of response. So I get home, and my daughter has changed her mind. I'm like, no, you can't change your mind. I am going to do this. I have, put the Holy Spirit off her. I don't want to push my luck here. So I said, okay. And so I go to bed that night, and he went to sleep. And so he snores. That was one of my things, too. The Holy Spirit had asked me to move back into the bedroom, and I have all these excuses. The bed's uncomfortable. He snores. It's just all these things. And it was. It was hard. The bed was horrible. And I never liked that bed. And then after 10 years, it was just it was worse than I ever remembered. And he snored so loud. I was up half the night listening to him snore. And But I was happy because I had obeyed. I had listened to the Spirit, and so it was like, I don't even get graphic or anything, but it was several nights, and I was getting a little discouraged. But is anybody listening to me really? Don't say that out loud. God has performed a miracle in my family, and things are we have a normal marriage now, and and it is awesome. It is amazing. I just have shuffled these up. I don't know where. Well, I have Bible scriptures that I want to read to you guys because. It doesn't even have page numbers. So, just a second. But when I think about. I mean, it has not even been a year since the Holy Spirit originally spoke to me to take it off pause. It hasn't even been a year. A year ago at this time, I had no desire. When I say no desire, I cannot emphasize that enough. No desire to be with my husband. When we passed each other in the hall, I am not kidding. He would lean up against the wall like this so that I could pass. So that we did not even brush our clothing against each other. We despised each other. It hasn't even been a year, ladies. It hasn't even been a year. And God has restored our marriage. It just makes me, I'm about to cry, but it's not because I'm sad. It's because I am so excited and I am so overwhelmed.
I am nobody. Why would he do this for me? I am nobody.
There was a quote on Facebook today, and I wrote it down, and it's somewhere in this mess. There's a lot of pages in here, but it's only because it's big print, because I didn't want to wear my glasses. It was by Joyce Myers, and it said, God will work through our weaknesses and do absolutely jaw-dropping, amazing things in us and through us. And that is where I am. I just feel like I am sitting in my living room and with walking through life now, like, what did he do? How did he do this? Psalms chapter 40, verse 2 and 3 says, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out from the bog and the mire, and set my feet on hard, firm path, and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing of praises to our God. Now many will hear of the glorious things he did for me and stand in awe before the Lord and put their trust in him. I used to argue with the Holy Spirit because my husband is a non-believer. And I used to say, he has free choice. How can you change him? He has free choice. Well, for one thing, he did a lot of changing in me. And that's where you have to start. But the Bible also says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. My husband's not a king. He's below a king. And if he can turn a king's heart, then he can certainly turn a simple man's heart. And he did. Can I have the worship team go ahead and come up? If there's one thing that I want you to get from this whole long story that I've just told you, is that he is trustworthy. You can trust him. If you are having marriage problems, if you're having kid problems, if you're having whatever the situation is, he is trustworthy. And the one thing that you have to do, the only thing that you have to do besides trust him, is to surrender. All those songs they sing about surrendering, oh, I hated those songs. Because I was a control freak, and I didn't want to give up my control. I didn't want to give up. I would give up part of it, but I didn't want to give up all of it. You can't. You can have my kids. You can have my work situation. You can have my finances. You can have my relationship with my parents. Oh, my marriage. Oh, I need to help you with that. He doesn't need your help. He needs you to trust him. So I want you right now, I want you to think, what is it that you need to trust God with? That thing that just crossed your mind right now, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He wants it. He wants to make you whole. He wants to create a miracle in your life. And he can do it.